Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Celebrate our father, Reverend Edwin. Thank you so much, sir, for the honor of coming to share with God's people. I'm grateful to all the ministers of God in the house. Thank you so much for your labors. The Lord bless and increase you in Jesus' name. Everyone that has made it for this conference, I pray that the Lord will surpass your expectations in Jesus' precious name. Please lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Father. Tell Him from the depth of your heart you expect an encounter tonight. Tell Him you are ready for the move of His Spirit. Tell Him everything He has to offer tonight, you came empty. You don't just want to receive, but you want to receive unto the overflow. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Help me in the choir now. good songs, they are ladders in the spirit. And those who understand the mystery and the technology of sound, they know how to mount up. Because your advantage in time is a function of height. Where you are functioning from. I told somebody, authority is not a function of distance, it's a function of height. When you go higher, everything becomes smaller. And some of these sounds are vehicles. We bless God for blessing the earth with certain sounds. For those who know what to do with it, they know where they've gone to. You know, some things, nowadays you can't say them. I realize why the fathers keep the gospel simple. Because if you say some things, in a lifetime, you can't explain it. Praise God. Please be seated. I want to manage our time. I hope that after 30 minutes, we'll be able to... Don't blame me. Where I came from is a cave. And church service in a cave is not regulated by time. Anytime God releases you, you go. If you get tired, go. You will join others. But you see, eventually God sends people to city centers and create quarry sites. So when we come to city centers, we need to have regard for a lot of things. Because some are government agents and they will not remain in the cave. They have to take the scepter to the government. So we bring administration. So when we come to the body of Christ, generally, we learn to manage on a lot of fronts. So I pray that in 30 minutes I should be able to ascend. In the name of Jesus. And so tonight we trust the Lord for a revival. We trust the Lord for a stirring, a very deep stirring in our hearts. That will provoke something eternal. Somebody came to me and asked me, he said, what is the secret of revival? And I'll tell you why I want to share this tonight. I may not be talking deeply on revival as a subject, but I just want to share tonight in a way that there will be a stirring in your spirit to be used of God and for the authority of God to begin to find expression in your life. Because it's always a subject of authority. When there is authority, speed is natural. There are many things you will spend so much energy to do that somebody in authority will just speak and it will be done. So speed is also a function of authority. Praise God. Remember, we are trying to study the dynamics of acceleration in the spirit. And yesterday we highlighted a few things that makes for acceleration. I told you about the operation of the word, and I told you about the technology of waiting on God as strategies of the spirit deployed for spiritual acceleration. And tonight, I want to talk to us about spiritual authority, but I'm using revival as a precursor of spiritual authority. Praise God. And so he asked me, what is the secret of revival? A lot teach revival, and they teach it from the standpoint of prayer. A lot teach revival, and they teach it from the standpoint of fasting. And a lot of people teach revival from the standpoint of the word. But honestly, when you study revival from scriptures and from history, you will discover none of these three things is the definition of revival. Because there are people from Bible days that have prayed and prayed into arrogance and pride. In fact, the Pharisees were masters of non-prayers. And when Jesus vetted them, he said, you take pride in non-praying. And when you pray, you want to stand by the street corners to be seen for your not praying. So you discover a generation is rising, trusting God for revival, and they are going the route of prayer. And prayer in our day, as spiritual realities will always reoccur in patterns, is becoming about length in prayers and the pride that certain persons form in prayer. We are going back to the path of Pharisees, is Pharisaism. Because prayer
as powerful as it is, can lead you to pride, ego, and self-esteem. And sometimes it can even lead you to a state of self-righteousness. And you will judge yourself on the strength of how long you can pray. Long prayers are very important. Don't be dissuaded. But while you are praying, you need to understand that it's a delicate line. Either to delve into pride or to delve into what I'm about to talk about tonight. Number two, some people think it's about studying. And so when they study, it becomes about scholasticism. So when they show up, you find so much egoistic expressions because of the depth of things they know. And while they are here talking, all you can perceive is so much pride and arrogance because of the multitude and magnitude of revelation they carry. So study can also lead us to arrogance. Whereas the Bible admonishes in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, it says, study to be quiet. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Now, what does it mean to be approved unto God? Those who understand know that what brings approval before God is brokenness. And so the secret of revival is not prayer. The secret of revival is not fasting. The secret of revival is brokenness. And if your route does not arrive at brokenness, you may be very knowledgeable, but you will be proud and arrogant with your knowledge. You may be very prayerful, but you may be bogus, verbose, arrogant with all your praying, and you will never see revival. And so when men attain unto brokenness, then revival is by the corner. You will soon hear the alarm of revival. Now, why is brokenness so important? Brokenness is the key to the power of God. When you find a man that God can walk with any day, anytime, he's not a fasting machine. He may fast. He's not a prayer machine. He may pray. But you want to find that man that the excellency of God's power is always at work in his life, you find a broken man. When you find a broken man, you find the dwelling place of God. This is what our generation needs to understand, and this is the secret of the fathers, that the key to spiritual authority and a constantly revived life is the place of brokenness. I show you a few scriptures before I delve into what I want to say. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5, this is Paul speaking. Paul was a scholar, and all of us know that already from scripture. He said he excelled in knowledge. And Paul was a prayer champion. He said, I pray more than you all. But this is Paul speaking. And Paul said, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Our sufficiency is in God. If you come to the place of brokenness, the first revelation you will discover is the insufficiency of humanity. You may be a scholar from Harvard. You may have a green card from US, United States of America. You may be a son of a king. But if you know what humanity really is, you will discover that all of us at best are insufficient. The strongest among us is the one through which God is working. It is the excellency of God's power that confers authority on us to be a blessing to our generation. And that authority is what gives us an advantage as we run through the multitude, the plethora of crises and contentions that we face in life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 2, Paul further reiterated on the subject of brokenness. And this was his disposition. He said, if any man think that he knoweth anything, let him know that he knoweth not as he ought to. That thing you feel you know, when reality is unveiled to you, you will discover how daft you are. And I will show you how Paul arrived here, because that's the basis of my emphasis tonight. I will show you what brought Paul to that state where he was always on fire and relevant in the hand of God. Paul came to a point where he knew that his knowledge counted for nothing. In fact, in Romans chapter 8 verse 26, Paul was speaking, and this was Paul speaking. He said that we know not what to pray for as we ought to. Even the prayer that we pray that makes us feel we are spiritual, Paul said we know not what to pray for as we ought to. It is the Spirit praying through us with groanings that cannot be uttered.
that substitutes our insufficiency and replaces it with the excellency of God. This is why the wise man of old said, do not be high-minded. In Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6, he said, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. I know you are experienced in business. Your experience can become useless when a demon is involved. I know you have been in that business and you have all the connection that is needed. When a demon is involved, you will discover that a whole container can vanish on the Atlantic. And you will get every surveying equipment, you will not find it. And you are wondering, where did it go to? A demon showed up. You can plan everything correctly. You know what ought to be done. You have done it all your life. But suddenly, a spirit shows up. You will discover your connection is futile. Your intelligence is useless. And everything you think you know will be made a mess just in a moment. This is why a man who truly wants to see God's authority, which is one of the bases for acceleration in life, must come to the place of brokenness. However, brokenness is not found in a book. Brokenness is actually a product of experiential knowledge. Two people can read the same book. One will come out with mental knowledge, another one will come out with brokenness. Same content, but one had experiential knowledge, the other interacted with letters. Two people can go through an experience. One will come out with a knowledge that breaks him, another one will come out with a bogus record that he will use to showcase his pride to a generation. So brokenness is a product of experiential knowledge. And the emphasis of my teaching tonight is to show us the pathways of brokenness. Most of us have been through this path, but we didn't realize what God wanted to achieve. And so we went through a school of the spirit, but came out without the greatest asset of the school of process. The greatest asset in the school of process is brokenness. It's not an anointing. It's not favor. It's brokenness. Because with brokenness comes all of it. And when you find a man that is broken, that's a man walking in the flames of revival. Praise God. There are three pathways to experiential knowledge that I will be speaking on tonight. There are many more, but I just want to speak on these three tonight to help us build up to where we are going to. The first pathway to experiential knowledge is the pathway of encounters. When you find a man who is broken, who has gained knowledge by experience, the path of attaining it is by encounters. There are many persons that have heard Bible stories, many persons that have gone to church, many persons that have gone to conferences, but they've never had any encounter. And this is why you can't find brokenness in their lives. And this is why you can't find true spiritual authority in their lives. And this is why the elements of the supernatural that should shift them forward, you cannot trace it in their lives, because they don't have experiential knowledge. Encounters are one spiritual medium of imparting experiential knowledge. And the proof that a man has received experiential knowledge is that brokenness comes out of him like an aroma. I give you a few scriptures quickly. Number one, Acts of the Apostles chapter 9 from verse 4 to verse 5. This was Paul, trained by Gamaliel, one of the wisest scholars of his time. This was Paul who thought the apostles were foolish, following a peasant that claimed to be a Messiah, leading them into error. This was Paul who was so ambitious to please God, and his way of achieving it is to arrest these men and throw them in prison and kill some of them. This was Paul that was present when Stephen was stoned to death, and the Bible said he was consenting to it. And this was Paul who received letters from the elders in the church going to Damascus to arrest people in the church and to throw them in prison, because he felt he knew it all. Suddenly, there was an encounter. And the Bible said he saw a light shine upon him from heaven. And immediately he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" The question is, where are you? I've never touched you. I always thought I was worshiping you. I've never offended you. How do you mean persecuting me? I thought I was serving you. Light has come.
He had come to a new school, a new college with a different syllabus. Why are you persecuting me? The first thing Paul learned was that the body of Christ was an immortal structure. The body of Christ does not begin and end on earth. Part of the body of Christ is in heaven. Because it was Paul that later came to teach us that Jesus is the head of the church. Because he had an encounter that taught him that when believers gather together, it's not just people gathering together trying to please God. When believers gather together, it's actually the body of Jesus. The head of that gathering is in heaven. That kind of knowledge, he couldn't acquire it from anywhere. That the body of Christ had moved from an individual personality to a corporate persona. The gathering of the saints with Christ sitting on them as the head was the body of Christ. Instantly, he discovered an immortal mystery walking on earth. Because when Jesus spoke to Paul, he thought that he would receive all he needed. And Jesus told him, go into the city, you'll be told what to do. Can I come to heaven and still need some things on earth? Yes. You are dealing with a mystery. Not everything is in heaven. Some things are in the body of Christ on earth. So a man can meet the glorified Christ, and the glorified Christ will send him to another man. What he doesn't understand is that this is an organism that is mystical. This is why when you come to church and you see your fellow brethren, he may not have what to eat. The clothes is where he may be smelling. But when you look closely, you become careful, because that person may be a custodian of a dimension that will save your city. Nobody knew Ananias. He wasn't popular. He was called a brother, not even an apostle. Hidden somewhere unknown. But Jesus will appear to Paul, and Jesus will not send him back to Jerusalem to meet the elders and the Sanhedrin. Jesus will tell him, go to the city. Somebody who has no name, somebody who had no rank, somebody who was not popular, somebody who had no money, is the key to unlocking this your great mystery. And Paul will wait for him patiently 3 days, praying and fasting. When Paul comes out of that experience, it will be foolishness for Paul to think he's bigger than anybody. Because what admitted him into the context was an unknown person with no reputation, coming from nowhere. And when the guy showed up, he said, brother Saul, he said, the Jesus that appeared to you on your road, I thought nobody was there. I thought it was only me and my brothers. That thing you are seeing in your dream, somebody is seeing it in his palm. We are in different realms. I read a story how Jesus appeared to rejoiner. And when Jesus finished talking to him, he didn't understand. And he was complaining, what do you mean? He said, go and meet Bob Jones, he will explain it to you. How can a man meet Jesus? And Jesus tells him to go and meet another man to explain to him what he's telling him. The body is a mystical body. And so when you come to church and you sit down, be careful who you are sitting with. That person may carry a seal that can change your city. And if you don't discern that person, you are in trouble. You know how Paul thought about the body. He said, be careful. He said, for this cause, many are sick. For this cause, many are asleep. No, for this cause, many are weak, not discerning the Lord's body. He took an encounter to humble Paul. Because before, when Paul is coming, he carries all the scrolls. He gives you the record of the people that taught him, the schools he went to, how that he was the best among the Pharisees. When Jesus humbled him, a man without a title came to ordain him into ministry. I'm telling you this because sometimes the person that you make for your acceleration sat with you in church. He greeted you, you didn't answer. Because you have not discerned the Lord's body. It is in brokenness that every package God has to offer comes to us. And one of the things that you will learn from encounter is that the body of Christ is mystical. Anybody can be anybody. The person you are going to look for in an office for 2 months may not be your helper. Your helper may be the casual guy that walked to you after service and say, please, I am hungry. You will give him food, but he will give you an information that will change your life. Because that's how the body works. Every resource of God is hid in men. And he co-located us together so that in our assembly, you can see the fullness of the glory of the power of God. But if you don't have an encounter, you will come to church and be like a peacock. Because he wore a new shoe and a new garment. You can come to church and say, you are the most relevant person. Because every Sunday, you are the one leading the songs. You can even come to church. You said, Jesus, people fell under the anointing. You now thought that you were relevant. You don't know that the reason the anointing is moving in the church is because there's an unknown intercessor that prays for 3 hours every day. The day that intercessor leaves, You will do all the things you know to do. You may even boast that God will move today. When you shout, nothing will happen. Because a gatekeeper has been relocated. You are the man with the revelation. You are the man with the microphone. But the gatekeeper with the key is at the back. And so when you begin to have encounters, you will learn things that are not written in books. This will humble you and it will break you. So much so that even if you are the head, you will act as if you are the servant of all. If you don't have encounter, you will not know this. The second thing encounters will teach you is that God is the sovereign one, not any of us. Because when Jesus showed up, he didn't say, why are you persecuting the church in Damascus? He didn't say, why did you persecute the church in Rome? He said, why are you persecuting me? That means I am the essence of the gathering. Nobody is the essence of the gathering. No matter who you are in the assembly, you are not the important person. You are not the center of attraction. The only person we all came to see is Jesus. And it will take men to have encounters to discern that Jesus is the one that matters. You don't have an encounter, you may think the service is about you. Many times, people show up with so much pride because they think what they have is what makes the impute. Have you not seen many people before? They stand up and speak boldly that they were the ones who made that church prosper. You? Have you not heard people before who stand up and look at people and say they made them? You? If breath is withdrawn from you, can you speak? Who told you have the power to make men? He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He said, God said, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image. The only maker of men is God. If God allowed you to impute in somebody's life, it's a privilege he gave you so that you can have reward in eternity. I'm showing you why there's no authority in the body of Christ as we want to see it, especially in this new generation. We are too high-minded, and it's because we've not had encounters. When you have encounters, you will understand what the body of Christ represents. When you have encounters, you will know who is truly the center of attraction. And if you have encounters, you will know that you are not important as you thought you were. You will just know that everything you are doing is an honor and an opportunity that God has given to you. That's why next time, when they tell you to sweep the church, you will sweep it with thanksgiving. If they tell you to stand at the gate, you will not stand at the gate thinking you are condescending. You will not stand at the gate thinking you are being humiliated. It's a privilege to serve in the house of God. But it will take an encounter to understand it. And it's that state of brokenness that enthrones men. I don't have time to tell you stories of men who humbled themselves in brokenness. And God shifted to realms of authority that they never recovered from. Not because they had any special revelation. Not because they had any special anointing. They were just broken. And when God saw them, he said, this is my man. I can trust this one with authority. And he moved the beggar from the dunghill, lift him up and establish him to inherit thrones and to sit with the nobles. It's a mystery in the kingdom that many don't know. Hey, 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 hey. For 5 months. Do you know how many people prayed in tongues for 5 months? Do you know how many prayed for 1 year that God is not using? The key is brokenness. When Paul came out of the college of encounter, this was his credential. Philippians 3 verse 3, he said, we are the circumcision that worships God in the spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. I have no confidence in the flesh. I have seen the one that dwells in the midst of the coals of fire. I saw a light that was more brilliant than the sun. When the oracles of God were revealed to me, I saw that I am but dust. The one that carries the immortal realities is the substance and the joy of heaven. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. You have not traveled long enough in the spirit.
you will discover the frailty of man, and you will also realize the sovereignty of God. Everything we are and we ever be is because he breathed into our nostrils. When the breath is withdrawn, even your family will bury you, because there's no value in mortality. The people that told you they love you so much, they will weep, but they will go and dig the ground and hide you there, because what is left of you without God is corruption. And even your family cannot accommodate corruption, so they will bury you. You have no value outside of God. You think because you are in government today, you are the reason why somebody is breathing. You are a joker. You don't know what is sustaining you. When breath is withdrawn from you, the person you slapped will pick you from the ground. You will be as useless as a bunch of dust. And the only place good enough for you is the grave. Apart from God, the only place good enough for you is the grave. Even your loved ones will reject you. They will weep, but they will let go of you. Because outside God, all that is left is corruption. And your body itself will become corruption. That's why you are called a mortal man. The word mortality is the word corruption. And God is called immortality because it means without corruption. That means without the impute of God in you, you are mortality. Hallelujah. An utterance in the spirit that you don't have any confidence in yourself. So you are looking for sufficiency beyond you. When you realize this, you will know that the word of God is a foundation, because you know you can't stand without him. Everything you do will have meaning beyond time. But if you are not broken, all about you will be in time and it will be vain. Many people are so big in their mind that they are too busy for God. Ha ha! Even when the Spirit of God is tearing them, they are taking their time. Because men call them Odogu. When you see an immortal spirit, you will discover that the things men say ends in the brain. There is a realm beyond your mind. You can't fathom it. The wisdom that gathered it together is beyond everything man can comprehend. Brokenness is acquired through encounters. And I tell you, many have never had an encounter genuine enough to show them they are nothing without God. They still feel there's something about them. When they talk, they can act humble just to win people's approval. But deep in their heart is high-mindedness. When you find a man who is genuinely broken, that's God's headquarter. He dwells there. I'm sharing this because when we start praying, that will be the focus of some people. Because we are too full of ourselves. There's no space for God. God is seeking penetration into your soul. There's no vacancy. You are too full of yourself. And until you become aware of your insufficiency, you can't see the sufficiency of God. Find a man who is great without God. A man who is great without brokenness. He rose by manipulation. He cut corners. He violated process. It's not God. The signature of God cannot be there. When you find a man who became great by God, the signature you will find on that man is brokenness. You find an arrogant man who is great, check him very well. There's manipulation somewhere. He cut corners somewhere. There's a violation of some truth somewhere. Because God can't lift a man that he has not broken. David understood the mystery, even as a king. When David heard that God was angry at him, in Psalm 51, verse 17, a king tore his garment and fell on the floor. He didn't bother who was in him. And his prayer was, Lord, take not thy spirit from within me.
For a contrite heart and a broken spirit, the Lord cannot despise. So the mystery of David was brokenness. The mystery of David was not a song. Many people talk about the Davidic anointing. The Davidic anointing is not just song. The mystery, the secret of the Davidic anointing is brokenness. And when you enter the realm of brokenness, you will discover that the Davidic mantle have 7 tributaries. Because David was not only a psalmist. David was also a warrior. He fought 44 battles. He didn't lose one. What level of authority is that? What level of foresight? What level of wisdom? What level of strategy is that? How can one man lead 44 battles and he failed none? What level of strategy? There's no military might that powerful on earth, but is captured in the Davidic order. You want to walk invincible through life. If you become broken, you will see certain mysteries. You will see things that will make you so invincible that even your neighbors will be afraid of confronting, your enemies will be afraid of confronting you. It's the Davidic order. It is couched in brokenness. David was a psalmist. David was a warrior. David was a prophet. David was a poet. David was a king. David was a shepherd. And David was a father. 7 dimensions. One man carried it. You think his prayer that bears such things? Prayer is not sufficient to carry such weight. It takes brokenness to be able to handle that level of investment. In fact, the throne of David was called the throne of God. He was that powerful. The host of David was called the host of God. So David came to a point where the only standard they could use to compare him was God himself. But David knew the way to the dust. The moment he hears that God is offended, he tears his garment. He falls to the ground. When the ark of God was being brought to David's house, he danced until he became naked. And the daughter of Saul, who knew the way of pride and flesh, looked at him and said, you dance foolishly. Kings don't behave like this. There's a level of comportment. And David looked at her and laughed. You don't know the sovereignty of God. You don't know the excellency of God. You don't know the things I have seen. When you come before God, you are dust. No matter what men call you, before God, you are dust. And you find such a man, you will see all the arsenals of God manifesting through one man. And you will wonder, what kind of favor is this? It's called brokenness. Because brokenness is a language in the spirit. And I tell you the truth, many are too full of themselves. That's why they can't see the hand of God. Number 2, what births experiential knowledge? Encounters. Encounters. In a lifetime, you can't exhaust it. Jacob deceived his own father and took the blessing. The blessing couldn't rest. Your father prayed over you, but you can't walk in it. You are a supplanter. You are a thief. This thing can't rest. The only time you can walk in the blessing is when you are broken. Many people, they smuggle their way. You can outdo men. You can outclass men. You can outsmart men. Not the custodians of heaven. They will watch you. And when you deceive for a long time, you will discover you are not going forward. You are actually taking 1 step forward and 4 step backward. And so every time you think you move forward, you actually went backward. Carried the Abrahamic blessing, but he couldn't rest until God met him. In Genesis 32 from verse 24. And he looked at him. How can you carry this blessing? No, you can't. And in order to test the level of flesh that this man carried, a whole night God was wrestling with him. It wasn't a physical battle. It was a battle between spirit and flesh. The Bible said the spirit is against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. And the two is one against another. That was the battle that took place all night. Because when God touched him, his bone broke. So they can't be fighting all night. So what was fighting all night was flesh and spirit. And the man couldn't take it out until God had to touch the hollow of his thigh. And from that day onward, Jacob leaned on the staff. His confidence in himself died. The moment his confidence died, he said, as a prince, thou had power with God and with men and have prevailed. Suddenly, Jacob will rise up from there. And Jacob will say to Joseph, bring your children, let me bless them. Joseph brought them and wanted to use the principles of men. And when he presented the frame and Manasseh, the guy crossed his hand. He said, no, you are making a mistake. He said, no, I'm not. I'm not a man anymore. I'm an immortal. I see from where you can't see. The angel that appeared to me, because he referenced that day, that was the day he became a prince in the realm of God. You think I'm your father? I'm a prince in the spirit. Because when Jesus showed up, he said, men will come from the north, the south, the east, from the west to honor Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The guy had a throne in heaven. And so when he looked at him, he said, I know this is older. He said, but Ephraim will be greater than Manasseh. I know one is older, but one will be greater. Because what I'm doing here, I'm reading their eternal scrolls. I'm not blessing men. I'm designing nations. I'm betting nations. I'm shaping dynasties. And as if that was not enough, in Genesis 49, when he was about to sleep, because they don't die, they choose the day they go. They have that power, that level of power. Things don't happen to them. He gathered the children and said, gather around me, I will tell you what will befall you. This is not talking as a prophet, he's talking as a custodian. He looked at God, he said, a troop will overtake you. We didn't know he spoke. We saw the gathering maniac overtaken by demons. It maniac overtaken by demons. It was Jesus that came to change the verdict. That was when we knew that he was talking to a generation. He looked at Judah. He said, the scepter will not depart from you until Shiloh comes. That means I have made you a king. And no matter what happens, you remain a king. Even when Jesus was to appear, he appeared in the dynasty of Judah because Joseph said it. Meanwhile, Jacob was the... what's his name? Reuben was the first son. But the man had power to make a king and to dethrone a king. How did he get... That encounter broke him. And when Jacob looks at you and said, you are made. Even if there is no rain, you will prosper in dry season. Because you begin to prosper beyond seasons and times. And a world has gone ahead of you. Those were the powers that this man commanded. Meanwhile, in our generation, we don't know the place of brokenness. That verdict was not for Joseph alone, Jacob alone. It was for every broken man. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, God said, Moses is the meekest of all men that lived. And when Moses showed up, some of the things that Jacob said, Moses changed it. Because the rank they had was brokenness. They say, Reuben, let Reuben live and not die. I know Jacob said, you are finished, but I came to change it. Because I came from where Jacob came from. All of us came from brokenness. He said, let Reuben live and not die. Do you know? See what men became on the face of the earth. They were breathing oxygen like men can shape the destinies of nations just by talking. It doesn't matter what happens 50 years later. The words they speak will ensure that those things happen. Let Reuben live and not die. I don't want to be an ordinary man. You cannot afford to. Generations are waiting for you. You need a power to be able to not just cause your life to prosper, but to cause the lives of many generations after you to prosper. If your children fail, you are part of the fault. But men that need to rise and look at their children and say, no evil shall befall you. No evil shall come near thy dwelling. If bandits rise, they should surround that house. They can't kill you. Because that word will keep you. It will become like a wall of fire around you. Such were the powers that this man wielded. When Isaac spoke over Jacob, he went and the people wanted to rob him of inheritance. And he wanted to run to Gerar in Genesis 28. And God said, no, stay still in Gerar. Don't go to Egypt. Stay still in Gerar. And the guy remained in Gerar. People were digging wells. They were not finding water. But when he digs his own well, there will be water. They comes and collect it. When he leaves the well dries. That means it's not water he was drinking. He was drinking blessing. You are the one seeing water. He dug another well. They drove him. He left. The well dried. He dug another one. They came. Until a point came, they discovered this thing is not about well. So they came to him and said, please, leave us alone. We know that you are bigger than us. How can a nation tell one man that you are bigger than us? Because a broken person spoke over him. And when that man spoke, whatever he did prospered. Leave us! And the Bible said he went further and dug a well, and they didn't fight with him anymore, and he called it Rehoboth. This is how they shape territories.
The East will not remain in bondage. No. Men will rise from the East that will say, enough to banditry. Very soon, salvation will spring from the East. Because you will find three men who are broken, bound themselves, and they will gather together. And while they are yet talking to the Lord, from among them, a verdict will proceed. And they will say, enough to banditry. And suddenly you hear that the bandits, even if they are not arrested, they will start killing themselves. Did you not read about the war of Moab and Mount Seir? He said, be still, you will see the salvation of God. You don't need to fight in this battle. And they were going to war singing. Before they arrived, three nations fought themselves and self-destruct. The last man that remained didn't have enough sense to run away. He took his pet and killed himself. A time has come where deliverance will come from the eastern part of Nigeria. Do you think what is happening is a joke? No. The prayers, the molecules of the prayer, they are beginning to gather together. The molecules. And it's not just going to be in politics, even in the economy. Because as one horn rises in government, another horn will rise in economy. Another horn will rise from the church. Because the prayers of the saints, the Bible said they are sent to heaven as orders, and they are stored in golden vials. So when God wants to work, he releases the incense. And when those incense are released, horns are activated. I'm telling you, wise men, technocrats, are going to emerge from this region. And you will see that the forces of tribalism, the forces of nepotism, the forces of religious bigotry will all be divided. Because those men, they will not just be Easterners, they will be saviors from Mount Zion. Because when you see them, beyond the fact that they came from the East, they will carry the badge of heaven. And when you trace them, you will find the record of righteous men. And you will know that this was where they come from is a righteous city. And men from every nation will rise to stand with them. They will tell strangers will stand to build their walls. I wish you know what is happening. It's beyond tribalism. The army of God is rising. The revival that was prophesied, this is the day of its manifestation. Some of you think when revival starts, men will start praying from the church. No. Maybe when the revival starts, it will begin from politics. And then you will find righteous men rise and say enough is enough. And the structures that were will break down and new structures will rise. The new structures that will rise, it's not men that will carry it, it will be angels. And you will not know what is happening, but they will be taking over. The time has come, and this is why we teach like this. Encounters will come from the mountains of Zion, and saviors will begin to emerge. And you know the first objective of saviors is to judge the mountains of Esau. Men that can paint righteousness as a blueprint for a generation. Men that are dressed with the multiple colors of righteousness. The regalia that they wear are the testimonies of God. And when they show up, you can't find any fault in them. Because these ones, they were hewn from the stones. They were hewn. And they passed through the furnace of fire. All that they bear are the testimonies of righteousness. Because revival is by our borders. The prayers of old, the prophecies of the fathers, the covenants of the keepers, they are beginning to become an ordinance in the spirit. And God's men will rise again. They will rise again. I told you on the first day that there will be judgment. You will soon see. The judgment is already here. Some will die. Some will be disgraced. Some will vanish. And some will be stripped of power. They will still be alive, but they will be powerless. The honor they had will be taken from them. And they will wonder what happened. The revival has come. Because the movements of the spirit have begun. That's why if you've not had an encounter to break you, this is the time. You can't continue with gossip and jealousy. You can't continue with competition and backbiting. Forget it. God is raising his army. And it doesn't matter who is in front or who is behind. It's an invincible force. It's an invincible force. He said, none shall break their ranks. Behind them is a desolate wilderness. But before them is the garden of the Lord. There is a journey and men are being summoned. We're carrying out permutations, and I looked and I said, this thing is not possible. How can these things happen, that men without structures, men without connection, can suddenly shift the tides? And God asked me, I thought you say you are a revivalist. Do you think the revival is about you leading an army? They said the revival is a movement, and God will pick men from different places and shift the tides. That was when God gave us new prayer points. He said, number one, pray that there will be confusion in the camp of the enemy, because they are about to kill themselves. He said, pray that the counsel of Ahithophel will be turned to foolishness, because they are about to make mistakes. They will not just fight themselves, they will also make mistakes. He said, that's how kingdoms rule. A house divided against itself cannot stand. He said, so they will fight themselves. And he said, they will make mistakes that will take honor and glory from them. And he said, pray again that everything God is doing, let it be amplified. And so when the sons of God do one thing, the impact will be like a thousandfold. And then fear will rest on the enemy. And before Israel shows up, they will paralyze. Something is happening. The army of God is about to rise, and you must be numbered. You can't be left behind. This is why every man must align in their ranks. The day that we pray for is upon us. The tides are beginning to move, and faceless men are about to come out with ranks that are immortal. Alignment order with angelic functionaries beyond time. Because there will be a connection between mortality and immortality, between eternity and time, and you cannot tell what is the force moving this. What is happening here? It's about to take shape. The season is ripe. Season is ripe. I thought it was during the protest that these things will happen. I wore my jean, I wore my shirt, I went and led the protest. The Lord said, no. He's still premature. He said, wait. That's why then there was no leadership. And because there was no leadership, there was no direction. And because there was no direction, there was no representation. God said, wait. That was just a stirring. He said, the wind is coming. It's like the hurricane. But it will take brokenness. This is why God is looking for men, because we are at twilight. The brightest hour is about to emerge. It will look dark, but there's a light coming. He said, when you see the darkness, soon the tides will move and you'll see the army of God. So our job is to blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm upon the holy mountains. The season is here, and you are numbered. You will play your part, because that time is now. A day will come again in Nigeria where you don't need human connection to be placed where you deserve. A day will come again where you don't need to run outside of this country to survive. This place will become a green vegetation where nations will come and say, let us go to Nigeria, the righteous nation of God, for there is the safety of the Most High. The day will come where young men will no longer be despised for their age, because competence and integrity will define the stature of men. Hey,
see, the feast is forming. It's forming. There's a sound of an abundance of rain. It's forming. Some politicians may think that we need to cross carpet because they will make the difference. They will not just accept you because you were once influential. Because the old wise king can't serve. They will know that the ticket for acceptance is righteousness. And so you can't just come and join. People will be purged. And that day is upon us. But encounters must take place. Many more need to have encounters to know where God is going and to find out the movements of the waters. The movement. Because the three powers that must merge, they are beginning to merge. Spiritual power, governmental power, and economic power is a triangle in the spirit. These powers are beginning to merge. And very soon, the shape will be formed in the spirit. And they will see the sons of Zion come out from different corridors with the tongue of righteousness. Please sit down. As I'm talking now, you see, a creature of fire has entered here now. Because some people need to be set on fire. A new journey is about to begin. And so there is an energy beyond mental power that is about to come on them. And so fire is being sprinkled on people. It's being sprinkled. It's being sprinkled. Okay, ushers, in the next 2 minutes, find me 7 men that God will set on fire now. In the name of Jesus, just bring them here quickly. There's about to be a coronation in the spirit. You don't have to be an apostle. I speak as I am there by the power of the Holy Ghost. Receive that impartation.
Authority that we need to handle is too big for revelation. It's too big just for prayer. Only broken men can handle it. Because there is a total shift in paradigm. There's a total shift. These are the foundations of revival. Where God can break into our service and alter it to achieve what he wants to achieve. Most of you, even right now, you are receiving scepters for new assignments and new ordinations. The strength of God is falling on you because it's time to play your part. Some of you will be drawn back to study the histories of revival, to study how civilizations are formed, how nations emerge, because you have a part to play. Some of you will read after wise men of old and find out how they pioneered what they did. Some of you will be sent to study about economies and transactions at international level, because there's a part you have to play. I need to share some things with you. Be seated. If you can, be seated. When it's remaining 10 minutes, then we will change this atmosphere. So the first pathway into brokenness is the path of encounter. The second path to brokenness is warfare. I am sharing this because most of you are numbered. So when these things begin to happen to you, you will not be broken. You will know exactly where you are in the move of God. Most of you will come under intense warfare. It's not designed to break you. No, it's a school. And so you need to make the most of it. I told you, if you don't fight battles, you will not know the extent of your strength. And so when warfare comes to you, it will break your natural tendencies. It will defeat your natural proclivities. It will destroy your natural advantage. You will come to an end of yourself. But when you come there, don't be dismayed. It is bringing you to a point where you learn to trust. Because the goal of this warfare is to take your eyes off yourself and to put your gaze on God. Because the strength you will need to run through this season will be the hand of God. The same way the hand of God came upon Elijah, the hand of God will come on people again. Some of you in your job places, because you stood up for righteousness, you will become a victim. Fear not. Some of you, because you decided that you will detach from darkness and align with light, you will become the object of everybody's attack. Fear not. Even when you get to your weakest ebb, rejoice. Because God will meet you there. The Bible said when David ran from Saul, he was a nobody. A point came, David had to go and learn to survive in the camp of the enemies. David literally was trying to survive. A season came, he had to pretend to be a madman. A point came, the only accommodation David had was in the cave. Everybody rejected him. To make things worse, the only people that came to David were broken men, battered men, who were in debt. It was laughable, but it was in that weakness that God began to teach his hands to fight and his fingers to war. If David did not follow what God was doing, he would have learned the tactics of Saul. And if he learned the ways of Saul, he would have been limited by the limitations of Saul. But God allowed him to go through warfare so that when he came to the end of himself, he will learn from another school that men don't teach. That's why when David shows up, he said, "My God teaches my hand to fight and my fingers to war." I didn't learn warfare from the college of Saul. I learned warfare behind the cave. A point came, everything David touched was a weapon. David said, "With my harp, I utter dark sentences." That means the harp of David was used to prophesy. A man is playing guitar and is expelling demons.
and mobilizing angels. His guitar was no longer a musical instrument. His guitar became a weapon of war. And so when David stringed the harp, angels are mobilized to fight. A point came, he understood that the Urim and the Thummim was not just for priesthood rituals. When David wanted to go to war, he consulted with the Urim and the Thummim to find out if he should go to war. And he will hear, when you see the mulberry tree move, I've gone ahead of you. He began to fight with invincible forces. Nobody in Israel knew that. But it took warfare for David to look away from the library of men and study the library of the divine. It was in that library that the true immortal element of David rose. When warfare comes, don't break. Stand your ground. God will meet you. There are certain things you need to learn that men can't teach you. And you will need those weapons for the next season. And so when men push you to the end, don't break. Stand your ground. There's something God wants to teach you. You can't learn it in your comfort zone. Only in the cave can you learn such things. When you stay up at night and you look for sleep, you can't find sleep. It means God wants to teach you how to access visions. That day will come when your heart will break. It will look as if your chest wants to crack. In that place of despair, you will learn how to find the rhythms of God. You will hear sounds that are not from earth. Those are the powers of the ages to come. But it will take warfare for us to get there. In Songs of Solomon chapter 3 verse 6, the Bible said, I saw one coming out of the wilderness. There are men who are taught in Bible schools. There are men who are taught in Harvard. But there are some who are taught in the wilderness. Did you read about John? In Luke 1:80, he said he was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. He didn't read a book. He met the God that finds men who are desolate. In 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, he said the eyes of the Lord moves to and fro the earth to find those who are perfect in heart, that he may perfect his strength. Hey. Most of you will fight battles that are bigger than you, but don't break. Don't break. There's a mystery behind it. Don't break. God will show up. I saw a man coming from the wilderness, and the Bible began to give us the credentials of that man. He said his head was smoke. When you find smoke in the wilderness, many times is the glory of God. In Exodus chapter 19 verse 18, it said God descended upon Mount Sinai and it was full with smoke and darkness. So the man that came out of the wilderness, what he carried was the glory of God. He had left human weapons. That's why Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. There's a weapon we come out with from warfare. When you are fighting, sometimes, I showed you some mysteries yesterday. When you are fighting, God will tell you, keep quiet. They will say things that all you need to do is to make a statement to vindicate yourself. God says, keep quiet. And for 4 years, they labeled you a liar. For 4 years, they labeled you a fornicator. You want to defend yourself, he says, keep quiet. That energy you would have used to defend yourself will explode on your inside. Sometimes you will just find tears coming out. But when God finishes with you, any day tears come out of your eyes, it will be a weapon. The weapon of the man who comes from battle is the glory. He came to a point where he found his end and there was nothing anymore. Did you not read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8 and 9? Paul said, when we were in Asia, he said, we despaired unto death. He said, but we learned not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in God. That's when you enter the realm of glory. What will we fight with in the last day? It's not eloquence. What will we fight with in the last day? It's not human connection. It will be the technology of the glory. The same way the fathers of old found it, that Elijah can outrun the chariots of Ahab, that Joshua can stand and tell the moon to remain still, that Moses can stand and tell the earth to open her mouth. Those are powers beyond time. But it will take a place where God meets you. And many times, you will not go there at will. It's warfare that will take you there. And so when you are fought, stand your ground. It's a school for the armies of the last day. To come to that point where God himself teaches men their hands to fight and their fingers to war. Did you not see that scripture? In Songs of Solomon chapter 3 verse 6, he said the perfume of the man is myrrh. What is myrrh? Myrrh is the oil that they use to cremate the dead. That means this man has died. There's no self-confidence anymore.
There's no pride anymore. He has died to himself. And so the fragrance of that man is the cream for the dead. Nothing about him is himself anymore. Warfare brought him to a point where everything he tried failed him. And so if that man shows up now, only God walks through him. He's a dead man walking. A generation that have tasted of the futility of flesh and warfare taught them to depend only on God is about to emerge. Those are the men that can wield the weapons of the age to come. But when you come out, suddenly, even the powers of earth will lend themselves to you. Because he said he saw the powder of the merchant with him. Men will bring their resources and say, lead us. Show us the way that we should go. You will now discover the many years of darkness was a preparation from the glory that is in light. And so you will know that those years were not lost. Those years were preparatory ground so that you can overtake every evil man that is on the last king. Warfare will come to you, but stand your ground. That's when you learn the ways of the glory. That's when you learn it. Now pride will not let you. Comfort will not let you. Luxury will not let you. You carry your phone, you say you want to study, and suddenly you find yourself on Facebook chatting. When you are in a cave where there's no network, you will know how to drop your phone for 1 year. But when you come out, something else will appeal to your soul that is deeper than Facebook. Something else will appeal to your soul that is deeper than the applause of men. You will come with scars based on the injuries you have gone through and the healings that God himself has given to you. A generation rises. They will know the way of battle, but battle will not break them. Battle will prepare them for the days to come. Hallelujah. God's basis of promotion. If you don't serve in this season, you may not be rewarded. That's why most of you, God will send you to different places to serve. I beg you, serve with your heart. It's God's strategy of qualifying you for reward. It's God's strategy for giving you authority in the last day. In Luke chapter 19 verse 17, he says, if you are not faithful in little, you can't be faithful in much. If you are not faithful in another man's business, who will give you yours? In Luke 16 verse 10, he said, because you have been faithful in little, now I will give you authority over the cities. There is an authority God wants to give, but it's meant for servants, not for superstars. These are pathways. And the reason God blesses men in service, number one, is because they show the purity of their heart. And number two, they were able to bear the weaknesses of others. So if God gives them power, even the body of Christ will be secured. Have you not served before? Where somebody who you are more competent than is the one leading. It will take brokenness for you to submit to him and not show that you know more. I'm telling you why God will bring service as a requirement. Because most of us, the reason the body of Christ can't move forward is because we know more than everybody and we cannot align. So we will break ranks. In order to prove that you are not a breaker of rank, God will test you with service. This building you are seeing beautifully today is like this because every block decided to bury their head. Any block that say I must be seen will defy this building. And so before God empowers us, he will allow us to serve. And so in our faithfulness during service, we will prove to God that we can handle power and authority. When you find people who can't serve, there are people who have disqualified themselves from wielding authority. God will send most of you to serve people, to serve systems, and to serve in different quarters. And many times, you will go to places to serve where you are the best. But for 2 years, God will be quiet. Nobody will care about your talent. You will just keep serving. You will bring suggestions, they will say, shut up. You will keep serving. But when you pass the test of service, suddenly an authority will come upon you that even if hell fights you, it will not stand. Because at this time, you have won the approval of heaven. When you are serving, two things will be required of you. Number one is competence. And number two is loyalty. If you don't have these two credentials, you are not part of God's army. Because God will not allow bias and sentiment in the days of coronation. It is men that have paid the price and have been trained by God that will be empowered. And number two, God will only entrust authority to faithful men. Men who have proven their loyalty and have shown that the purposes of God are more significant than their personal ambition. When you find a man who cannot be loyal, it's because his ambition is superior to divine purpose. And such a man cannot be empowered. When we talk loyalty, we are not talking bootlicking. No, that's not what we are saying. We are talking about a state where a man is serving because of conviction. He's not serving you because you are right or wrong. He's serving you because God told him to serve. And so long as he's there, his service is unto the Lord. And so God will prove his heart. And because of that, God can empower him. If there will be experiential knowledge, there must be brokenness. And if there must be brokenness, there must be encounters. There must be warfare. And there must be service. These are the credentials that will empower the next generation to be able to unseat the darkness and the princes that rule over our borders. You have not had encounters, then it's time for you to journey in prayers. It's time for you to journey in worship. It's time for you to journey in fasting and meditation. You have not had brokenness that produces authority. It's time for you to embrace warfare. There are certain warfares that came to shape you. Your tongue is too fast. Your ego is too much. So they will fight you until you lose confidence. And when you lose confidence in yourself, you will learn to put confidence in Christ. Self-confidence is not divine. It's God confidence or word confidence that is divine. And so when you speak, you are not speaking because you are a graduate of Harvard. When you speak, you are speaking because you believe that your Redeemer liveth. And so when the things that defeat Harvard graduate defeat them, you will still be standing. When things that defeat men defeat them, you will still be standing. Because your knowledge now becomes an added advantage. Your experience becomes an added advantage. But your life is not built on your knowledge and your experience. Your life is built on God. Only warfare will teach you that. If you have not lost everything before, you will not know what it means to trust God. And so many times, if God tries through revelation and it doesn't work, he will allow you to lose everything. In that state of loss, you cannot rely on God. And you will begin to change things. But when God turns the captivity of Zion, we'll be like them that dream dreams. Our mouth will be full of laughter. I love the scripture that Daddy read. Job 42 verse 10. He said, God remembered Job when he prayed for his friend. And he gave him double for everything he has lost. When you are going through warfare, God is not moved. Because he can change your fortune overnight. But what God is looking for is your heart pure. Is your heart pure at the end of the day? That is where the warfare truly lies. If you are able to guide your heart and avoid corruption, and you come out with trust and brokenness, when God changes your story, you will not just come back to where you were. You will become the answer to your generation. A new generation and a new breed is rising. A breed that knows God by encounters. A breed that knows God through warfare. And a breed that knows God through service. Service from a pure heart. This is where we are, and this is what God is doing. Can you pray tonight? I'm already out of time. It's like 10 minutes. I want to fly now. You want to tell the Lord tonight, Father, give me the encounter that will change my story. I know I've read books. I've done human connection. I've done many things. But Father, give me the encounter. The encounter you gave the wise men of old that made them depend on you. The encounter you gave them that made them rely on you. I know I have a good voice, but I know it's beyond a good voice. I know I have certificates, but I know it's beyond certificates. I know I have experience, but I know it's beyond experience. I know I have human connection, but I know it's beyond human connection. Give me that encounter that makes men trust you. I've trusted myself for too long. Oh, I wish I had time to tell you stories. Stories of how trust in man can be futile. He said, woe unto the man that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. It can be futile. Ask those that are great, they will tell you that men will fail 1,000 times. And even the scriptures have captured it. Can you ask God for that encounter? Some of you are already in warfare. Ask God for the grace to journey through it without your heart being corrupt. And so that when you come out, you will come out with the badge of brokenness. And some of you, you need service. In service, you are being offended. Offense is not allowed. You learn both from the good and the bad. There are certain men God sent you to. He didn't send you to them to learn the good that they have. You already know it. He sent you to them to know the things to avoid. Both of them are a syllable for you to learn from. Ask God to help your heart, that there will be no offense in the place of service. Because a scepter will fall in our generation. Graces will be released. Mantles will be given. When that day comes, may you catch your own. Can you go ahead and pray now? Is about to fall here. But in order for you not to miss it, hear this. Some of you, in the place of service, you have been offended. Offended with those you serve with, offended even with your superiors, and offense will deny you. Some of you, in the place of warfare, you have even turned against your Redeemer. And so tonight, before the fire falls, there are certain of you that need to repent. And forgive everybody you are holding in your heart. It's a weight. You don't need it now. Where you are going, the journey is too great. You can't manage offense. It will cost you too much. The people may not deserve forgiveness, but for your own good, it's time to forgive. There are some of you that have uttered words that will stand against you in judgment. In the next 2 minutes, just in case you know you need genuine repentance, you need to let go of somebody. You can run to the altar now and drop that weight here. You have burned something in your heart for long. Come and drop that weight quickly. A fire is about to fall here.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.